Not the boring, generic milquetoast stuff coming from the network in Connecticut.
I'd describe him as the best, obviously.
Kettles.
He throws it out there. Speaks his mind. That's cool.
And Rami.
He's supposed to make people laugh. He's just an expert at it.
Kettles and Rami. Live and local in the afternoon.
Sactown Sports.
Rami, how's your day?
Just got a little better.
Yeah.
It did.
Yeah, a little sunshine right before the show.
Yes, sir.
A little blast of sunshine.
Yes, sir.
Happening consistently lately.
Oh, I was just talking about, this is my second cup of coffee of the day.
Yeah.
I told you yesterday, yeah. I'm trying to cut back from 5 to 3.
I was talking about my drive-in.
And here's number 2.
Yeah.
And oh, I made it fresh. And oh, Nick.
We don't need to do this. We don't need to do the smells and the sounds. We don't need to do that.
Those are pretty large cups, by the way, Rami. That is a full flask full of coffee.
Yeah, it's not a cup. Flask. It's like 3 cups in one.
I didn't fill it to the brim. But yeah, this
no, because that would be outrageous.
Cup of coffee number 2 right here.
Filling it to the brim instead of having like 4 of those.
I miss coffee.
Are you a straight up guy? Or are you putting
just,
a little
no, just
hazelnut
straight,
in
no,
there?
No, just
something.
Straight black coffee, okay. Simone.
All right.
Just the
a purist.
Beans. Just the beans.
Just the bean water.
Yes.
Okay.
You're really bothering me.
I'm looking at Rami's camera. He's gazing lovingly into that flask.
It's gross. Can we just move forward? By the way, shout out to the lady who was in the parking lot when I drove in.
Uh-huh.
Who decided to just fill the parking spot with the front half of her car while her ass was out. And I could not drive. I couldn't quite get past the car. And she's just sitting there like she took a regular spot when she's clearly crooked and half in the spot.
In our parking lot?
Yes. And she was just sitting there.
There's a person in the car?
Does she work here?
Yeah, it
I don't
feels
know.
Like you're talking about a coworker.
I've never seen her. I've never seen her.
Thank you, Simone.
She was in the front part of it.
Oh, okay.
The front that part of our parking lot.
Not the gated part.
So it could have been anybody.
Okay.
And she's just sitting there like she wasn't doing anything wrong. Like she, again, half of the vehicle, the back end of the vehicle is outside of the spot, and it's just like kind of in the way as you're trying to get to the
starting the show on very different ends of the spectrum here. I couldn't be more pleased with my coffee.
Maybe I should take up coffee.
You probably should. Probably should.
Maybe I should do something about that. I don't know.
Just find something you love as much as Rami loves staring into that coffee cup.
It just it's creepy how much he invests into that coffee. All right, let's get to the Kings here on this Wednesday. Happy hump day, everybody. Thanks for joining us. Kettles and Rami here on Sactown Sports. So James Hamm yesterday, Rami, reported that the Kings and Harrison Barnes, they were talking 3 weeks ago, and then all of a sudden, 3 weeks ago, all talk stopped. Just stopped.
Ghosted.
Nothing was happening.
Yeah, ghosted, yeah.
That was yesterday. Now, Hamm today is reporting that Barnes and the Kings are back at the table discussing a contract. What do you make of that?
I don't know what to make of it, Nick. I really don't. But you know what? When the report first came out, and they said they were 85% there, and then things went silent. 85% is not as close as one might think. You know what I mean? 85% is still a ways away. 85% is almost where you start negotiations. Like we're you know what I mean? Like we're in agreement on 85% of this. There's 15% that we need to hammer out. 15% is a long way to go. So I thought, oh, well, the talks, at first I was like, that's weird. And then I was like, the more I thought about it, I was like, well, the talks just broke down. But now apparently they're coming back to the table. And I don't know if that means that, you know, we've been talking a lot and a lot of people have been speculating when you look around the NBA world that Monty had a guy in mind. He had a plan in mind when he made this trade to free up the cap space by sending number 24 and Rashawn Holmes to Dallas. I don't know if they caught smoke signals that whatever that was is now not going to be coming to fruition. Whoever that was not now coming to fruition.
Yeah.
So they came back to Harrison Barnes. But it is weird that if that's the timeline, that it was 3 weeks of radio silence pretty much after they were 85% of the way there, that now they're back to the table. Something had to have brought somebody back to the table. Either Harrison Barnes saw or heard what his value might be out there on the market and is coming back to what maybe the Kings had on the table, Or the Kings are hearing that they might not be getting what they wanted out of Marcus. So now they're coming back to Harrison Barnes, one way or the other.
Yesterday I talked about this idea that the Kyle Kuzma-Draymond Green talk was a smokescreen, that Kuzma and Green's representation was working overtime to try to make people believe that the Kings were ready to just throw the bag at one of those two guys. And I do wonder. I do wonder that, you know, the end of the day, the Kings might have been talking to those players, might have been talking to Green, might have been talking to Kuzma. I'm sure they placed phone calls, and maybe, just maybe, the price is too high for Monty. And so maybe after going down the road with representation, because don't get it twisted, everybody knows how much somebody is actually going to pay each person in the league. Everybody knows that. This is not, oh, tampering. Give me a break. Everybody's talking. Everybody has conversations. Behind closed doors, people know. So maybe, just maybe, Monty has an inclination that this is not going to work. The Kyle Kuzma thing, the Draymond Green thing, and this is Monty pivoting. He's going back to HB, and he's saying, hey, can we close this deal because some other options weren't necessarily coming to fruition. That's a possibility. There's also a possibility that Harrison Barnes has talked to teams and understands that he might not be getting the kind of bag he was hoping for. And maybe HB, that 85%, right, the 15% that was left, was Harrison thinking he was worth a few more million and saying to himself, oh, yeah, I'll talk to Indiana. I'll talk to this team. I'll talk to that team. And then all of a sudden, maybe HB's market is not as hot as he thought it was going to be.
Right.
And maybe he's crawling back to the Kings saying, you know what, Monty, if we're talking 4 for $60, that might not be a bad deal after all.
Because people are, don't get it twisted, people are talking. Like, I know nothing is, nobody's allowed to do anything.
Oh, they're talking.
Until Friday, but there's a reason why you see contracts getting signed at, I don't know what the official start time is of free agency, but say it's midnight, you see contracts signed, sealed, and delivered at 12:01 a.m. You know what I mean? People are talking, and they're getting an idea of what the market is. Teams are getting an idea of how interested players might be in coming over to their organization, and players are getting an idea of what their market might be like, how many teams might be in on them, what kind of bidding war, and what kind of value they might have out there. I think This says to you that one or both sides here in these negotiations, if it's been 3 weeks of silence, Nick, one or both sides has heard something that has them coming back to the table and considering extending this thing between Harrison Barnes and the Kings.
So maybe HB found out he's not going to be some team's plan and he's come back. Maybe the Kings have found out that option A, option B. I don't know if HB was option C, option D, option A. I have no idea. He certainly wasn't option A, because if he was option A, they would not have stopped talking 3 weeks ago.
When they were at 85%.
So whether it's C, D, E, F, whatever, maybe they found out that option A and B are not likely. And so now you got to kind of cover your tracks. You go back to the conversation and you try to wrap up that 15%. The ultimate question for me as well, when we look at Harrison Barnes, because nobody anticipates or expects Barnes to make like $20 million a year. That's not going to happen. That's not his market. Nikola Vucevic just signed for $20 million a year with Chicago on an extension. HB's not getting $20 million a year. If you could get a reasonable deal out of HB, the question is then, Rami, are two deals better than one? And maybe, just maybe, Monty's looking at the market. And maybe Kyle Kuzma's market is $25 million from somebody. And Monty is uncomfortable going to $25 million. Monty would rather pay $20 million. And so maybe Monty looks at it and says, well, do I want to overpay somebody who's going to be on the market? Maybe it's even, let's just throw out the theoretical Draymond Green. Maybe Green knows he can get 25 per from Golden State and he wants 30 per from Sacramento. And Monty's like, we're not paying you $30 million a year, Draymond. Not happening on my watch. Maybe after assessing the field and going through all of these conversations, it's certainly possible that you look at this market and you say to yourself, well, HB at $15 million, and then we still have another $20 million or so to use. So maybe that's the best way to attack this. Instead of overpaying one guy, we get a guy back in HB that we know and we trust and we're confident in, and then we have another $20 million to spend on other pieces. Maybe that's what's happening. But obviously there's been a shift here the last couple of weeks.
Can I throw one more probably less juicy possibility.
Throw it on the pile, baby.
It's not juicy. Maybe this is just one last check-in, like before both sides
could be
go out into the market and see what's out there.
Could 100% be that.
Like, hey, so this is as far as you're willing to go? Yeah, and this is as far as you're willing to go. Yep. And that's it. Okay. Maybe we'll talk in a few days if we don't find something better out there. You know what? This could just be that.
It's a really good point. You could have one last check-in. Maybe HB has an offer, right? He finally has an offer. He knows what he's going to make. Let's say Indiana is going to pay him, hey, HB will give you $16 million a year. All right, well, let me go back to Sacramento with that offer. He's not going to tell them that, most likely, but maybe he goes back to Monty and says, this is what's on the table. Can you beat it? Can you match it? Whatever. How much can you give me? Maybe Monty has an offer on the table for a player and says to himself, well, maybe I'd rather have HB in another piece, so let me go back to HB, see if he has any crazy offers on the table, or if he's now more open-minded to the deal we were talking about 3 weeks ago. There's all sorts of options. We ultimately have no idea, but it's rather obvious.
Love to speculate, though.
There's been a bit of a roller coaster when it comes to these conversations between Barnes and the Kings as they try to figure out what they're going to do 2 days from now. Getting ready for free agency on Friday with all of you. Your thoughts. So 3 weeks ago, conversations with HB stopped. And now we find out today that HB and the Kings are back at the table. Your thoughts on that? Why do you think that happened?
People
what do you think's happening?
Coffee.
Can you just let me get my question out to the people and then maybe talk about coffee? You can't help yourself, can you?
It's so good.
Just can't help yourself.
It's just really, really good. It's fresh. It's hot. Smells so good.
That air break brought to you by Rami Makhlouf. 916-339-1140 is the text line. The phone number is 1-800-920-1140. The YouTube channel, as always, youtube.com/SacktownSports1140. Your theories on this HB King situation. We'll get to your reaction. Also, did the NBA screw over Sacramento? We'll get to the latest in 90 seconds.
The market for...
With you 1 mile at a time during the afternoon drive. Cattles and Robbie.
Sacktown Sports.
So how about this? Adrian Wojnarowski 20 minutes ago tweets out that the T-Wolves are declining to guarantee Taurean Prince's $7.4 million contract this upcoming season. So Prince will be a free agent. And Prince just quote tweeted Woj's tweet. Sheesh. Appreciate the heads up, Woj.
What is going on in the NBA? Where all these guys are finding out that they're getting traded, released, etc. the same way that we are.
And it's not like it was a minute later. Prince quote tweeted Woj 15 minutes after Woj's tweet.
Yeah, that means that 15 minutes went by and nobody told him.
Yes. So this got to Woj and no. Nobody told Prince, and Prince sees on Twitter, you're guaranteed money. Yeah, the option's not going
to
get picked
Maybe
up.
Maybe he just didn't have his phone next to him.
I would have to imagine
and
that.
He did tweet.
He picked up his
phone.
No,
but I mean, like, maybe he was coming back from the gym and then checked his phone a couple hours later and was like, oh, guess they're not guaranteeing my contract, huh?
That's wild.
Yeah, it's just, that's pretty funny. Bo says, Nick is so mad, LOL. Roll with the punches, my friend. Oh, Bo, trust me. I have rolled with the punches for more than a year, my friend. And I continue to roll. I'm not that mad. I am not mad at all at Rami's love of coffee.
Have you tried coffee?
Now, could he wait maybe 15 seconds before expressing his love once again? Yes. Will he? No. Because it's Rami. We've come to accept that. We're talking about HB and the Kings... To start the show, if you're
Sometimes
just joining
I
us.
I just got things I got to say.
That's it.
You know what I mean?
Like making noises about his coffee. Just it has to happen. He's got to do it. So we were talking about HB. James Hamm reported yesterday that as of 3 weeks ago, the Kings and HB stopped talking. Then Hamm today reports that HB and the Kings are back at the table. Just kind of your thoughts about Barnes, your thoughts about them getting back to the table. Do you like it? Do you not like it? Cole G says, I don't think Barnes would leave for a couple million more per year. We don't know that. I mean, a couple million per year if he's going to sign a 3-year deal and it's $2 to $3 million more somewhere else, I don't know if Barnes is going to turn down an extra $8 million. He could. But I think sometimes people get wrapped up into this notion of the, you know, hometown discount. Mic check.
Mic check. I didn't want to make the coffee noises on the mic, so I turned off my mic when I took my last sip of coffee. Yeah, no, that's not. That's,
mic check.
That's
mic
almost
check.
Never a thing.
Mic check.
That's going to happen. That a guy's going to take $8 million. I wouldn't. I'll tell you right now. I'm not taking $8 million less to work somewhere. It's just not going to happen.
So
I'm sorry.
We have no idea. Cole does say he'd pay Barnes $16 million this year, $14 million next year, 2-year deal, $30 million. Doesn't want to hamstring the future. I think that makes sense. Short-term deal, averages at about $15 million, $16 million a year would make a lot of sense for Barnes. Mr. Jason 916, Barnes is trash in the playoffs. Yeah, he hasn't been good. And this year it was
bad.
It's a
bit harsh, but yes, message received.
This year he was really bad.
But if he had just hit one shot in game four, he would have been a clutch playoff hero.
Not that MC in the YouTube chat, youtube.com/SacktownSports1140. Maybe it's as simple as the Kings offered Barnes 85% of what he was asking for. How about that? What's 85% of $20
million? 17.
Well, so if you think of it that way, maybe the Kings were offering like 16, 17 million, and maybe HB thought he could get 20. And now he knows he can't get 20.
So there's your $8 million that he's leaving on the table.
So we'll see what happens. Again, it could be a million different things as to why Harrison and the Kings stopped talking 3 weeks ago to only start talking recently. And I always say this as well, like, we also have to give it at least a couple of days window. Like, James Hamm reports it today. I don't know if that means, like, this morning Harrison Barnes got a phone call
and somebody
immediately got a hold of James and was like, now they're talking. It could be, you know, the last few days, the last week. We don't know.
Maybe they were on a break. You know what I mean? They just needed a little time.
So here's a question I have for you, Rami. Did the NBA screw over Sacramento? I asked that because we found out today that...
We have a two-minute report that we need to review?
No.
Oh, okay.
No doubt about it. Wemby is not going to be playing at the G1C. He's not going to take part in the Cali Classic. Victor Wembanyama is going to sit out the Cali Classic, but he is going to play in Vegas. And I know that Adam Silver came out a week or two ago and said... Oh, we love the Cali Classic. You want to have Summer League? We're all about Summer League. I love it.
More basketball.
We wouldn't get in the way of people playing in Sacramento, but there is a slice of me, the conspiracy theorist, hot take guy, comes out when I see this, and I wonder, did the league lean on the Spurs in Wembanyama to not play in the Cali Classic so he could play in the Vegas Summer League?
I don't know. I mean... He has played a lot of basketball.
Like he has.
Their season just
ended.
But
it's like a week's difference.
I understand.
It's literally like 4 days difference.
I get it, but I don't know. I don't know what's behind this. I know it sucks. I was thinking about going to the Cali Classic on, what is it, Monday the 5th?
Monday is the 3rd.
No,
Wednesday is
Monday,
the 5th.
Monday, 3rd, yeah.
Okay, they were going to have games on the 5th, right? And we were were we off that
3rd
day?
And 5th.
Yeah, so
we
I was
off on the 3rd.
I was thinking
and the 4th.
I was thinking about going on the 3rd then, whatever day that we were off. I don't think I'm going to go check it out.
Yeah, no, Monday the 3rd.
That would be the draw for me.
Yeah, I'm out.
Outside of that, I think I'm out. Pretty much out.
I was hoping to see Wembanyama.
I don't know. I don't know if there's necessarily a conspiracy behind it. You think so?
Today I do, just to feed the flames.
Okay.
Yes, the NBA is against Sacramento. They clearly want Wembanyama to play in Vegas. They don't want him to play here in Sacramento. Hate on the league. Hate on Adam Silver. Meanwhile, in the NBA, Cattles and Rami here on a Wednesday. We got a Kyrie Irving update. Here's Adrian Wojnarowski of ESPN with the latest.
The market for Kyrie Irving, legitimate places that he would leave Dallas for that makes sense, that are available to him, it's extremely limited, perhaps almost nil. I think the full expectation is that he returns in Dallas. The question will be, what kind of a deal does he go back on? How many years on a contract? I don't think the money will be as much of an issue as how many fully guaranteed years are there for Kyrie Irving. I think that's where the negotiation is going to be between he in the Mavericks, but if he wants to maximize his money on this deal, The place to do that is in Dallas.
I'm shocked. Kyrie doesn't have a huge market. I can't believe it. I can't. I am knock me over with a feather with this story. I can't believe that Houston, San Antonio, and the Kings are not interested in paying Kyrie Irving $30+ million a year.
It really is. It's pretty insane when you think about it, what Kyrie Irving has done to his value. Because Kyrie Irving, the basketball player, if all the other BS aside, he would be his market would be off the charts right now, Nick. A guy with that type of talent hitting the market,
incredible offensive talent,
would have half the league chasing after him. In most cases, he has totally tanked any demand for him. But the thing I'm wondering is, if you're Dallas and you know there isn't really a market for him, why are you paying top dollar exactly? Why not tell this guy, you know what, go see what's out there, and then let's talk? Why would you give him a max contract when, I mean, I'm not a business expert, but the laws of supply and demand, there doesn't seem to be that much demand for the world's supply of Kyrie Irving right now. You know what I mean?
The only thing I could think is that they're concerned that if they don't put that kind of money on the table, that it's going to get Kyrie off to a bad start in year two for them. Like if he feels like he's cornered and he's got to take less than he thinks he's worth, then again, you've got the Kyrie drama and he thinks he's been quote unquote disrespected. You also have no idea about Kyrie. Like Kyrie is such a different dude. He might turn around and go, you know what? I'll take a lot less to go somewhere else because you guys just disrespected me. Like maybe they're just concerned about the ticking time bomb that Kyrie's been, but he's 31 years old. And if he signs a 2 or 3 year deal, this is pretty much it for him when it comes to big money contracts. Mm-hmm. So I would have to imagine he's thinking short term. I don't know what Dallas is thinking. You keep an eye on L.A. L.A. reportedly wants to re-sign D'Angelo Russell. Keep an eye on how long that contract is, because if D'Angelo Russell signs like a 1 year deal and Kyrie signs a 1 year deal, we're going to go through the whole L.A. Kyrie thing again by the trade deadline.
Yeah.
So be ready for that. Be ready for that. And the jury's still out to me about Kyrie and Luka. Can it work as a partnership? And I think signing Kyrie, especially if it's long term, I think signing Kyrie, it's a risk. Because if things go bad, things blow up, you might lose Luka. Because all of those rumors have been going around for the last couple of years that Luka's looking at L.A. and Miami and some of these other markets. So it is a risky deal. But when Dallas made that trade, they pretty much committed to Kyrie. You're not going to make the trade they made last year and then not re-sign him.
Yeah, they're almost in too deep to risk it now.
They're both stuck with each other.
Yeah.
That's the truth. That's the truth. I will continue with your Kings reaction. Also, the NFL's gambling problem is about to explode. We'll tell you why next.
Sactown Sports.
Headlines.
I'm Simone with your Sactown Sports headlines. The San Antonio Spurs announced Wednesday that French phenom Victor Wembanyama will not be joining the team in Sacramento for the California Classic, but he will join the team in Las Vegas for the NBA Summer League Showcase. If you are like Wemby and won't be in the building July 3rd and 5th for the Classic, you can always tap in at SacktownSports.com. A handful of NFL players are expected to receive season-long suspensions this week after allegedly violating the NFL's policy on gambling, sources told ESPN's Adam Schefter. Indianapolis Colts cornerback Isaiah Rodgers joins a growing list of subjects implicated in prohibited gambling acts, according to league guidelines. The NFL plans to reinforce and clarify its gambling policy to players and personnel amid the rapid proliferation of sports betting. I'm Simone. Those are your Sactown Sports headlines. Welcome back in to Cattles and Rami.
With you 1 mile at a time during the afternoon drive, Cattles and Rami.
Sactown Sports.
We'll get back to the Kings in a few minutes. We got Chris Biederman joining us at 3 o'clock as well to talk Kings. NBA edition of Big Deal or No Big Deal coming up in about 10 minutes. But wanted to slide in some football here because this is a big story. And this story, I think, is going to explode within the next couple of days. I wouldn't be surprised if we get a Friday news dump late Friday afternoon from the NFL. So Adam Schefter has a report today, and I want to go back several weeks ago, because several weeks ago, Colts cornerback, kick returner Isaiah Rodgers was in the news. And the report was that Rodgers was gambling, and it was pretty pervasive, and that Rodgers was going to get a full season suspension from the league. And at the time, there were other reports saying that the NFL, I think it was Burt Breer who came out and said, the NFL is going to go full throttle with this investigation, and they're looking around the league to see how pervasive the problem is across the league. Mm-hmm. And so when we heard that and read that and saw that, it made us wonder, you know, what news was about to come across and how bad of an issue is this? How bad is an issue is this gambling within the league? And there's been some confusion about how much have players been told? Has the NFL done a good enough job of explaining the gambling protocols? Here's Pro Football Talk's Mike Florio on that.
Common sense is getting thrown around a lot as it relates to the gambling policy. Why do we need to educate the players? It's commonsensical. Well, you know what? It really isn't commonsensical, because common sense, when you look at what's happening in the NFL right now, would suggest, hey, we should be allowed to gamble. The NFL is making millions off of gambling sponsorships. The owners have stake in the sports books. There are a bunch of mixed messages and hypocrisies that the NFL needs to cut through and make it clear to the players what they can and can't do.
Now, I think it's pretty simple. I don't. How about this? Just don't gamble in any way. Just, you're in the NFL. If you're in the NFL for 5 years, you're very fortunate. If you're in the NFL for 3 years, you're lucky. How about just put away the gambling while you're playing in the NFL? Like, this isn't difficult. People trying to lay this on the league and saying, well, they haven't been particular or specific enough. Give me a break. Just don't gamble. If you have friends who are gambling, don't have them gamble on your accord. Like, the guys that are gambling and getting caught, it's because they're gambling. Calvin Ridley's been the only dude that's come out and was 100% transparent, said, I screwed up, I gambled, I was an idiot, I'm not going to do it again. So now, on the heels of all this, Adam Schefter has this report today that a handful of NFL players, including the aforementioned Rodgers, are expected to receive season-long suspensions for allegedly gambling. So now, Rami, we have a handful of NFL players who are going to get 1 year suspensions from the league.
And Nick, I agree with you when you talk about the personal choice and responsibility that these guys have, and the fact that they're putting themselves in these sticky situations and getting themselves in trouble. But don't get it twisted. It's a bad look for the NFL when they have to suspend these guys. You know what I mean? And every time one of these stories bubbles up and surfaces, and this won't be the last of it, because it's not a simple system that they have. I said weeks ago, Nick, sort of looking at it from the other side, just have a zero tolerance policy, period. Like, don't even give, basically the same thing you're saying, but you're saying these guys have the choice, the option to gamble, don't do it. I'm saying don't even give them the option with this complicated list of rules of what you can and can't gamble on, when you can gamble, where you can gamble from. Just say while you're playing in the NFL, you are not allowed to gamble on professional sports, and make it simple, because this stuff is going to keep happening. And it's a bad look for the league. Like, it's bad for these players, yes, and it's in their best interest, their self-interest, to not put themselves in that situation. But when these stories come up, it's a bad look for the league.
Oh, there's no doubt.
And they could make it real easy for everybody and just say, zero tolerance policy on gambling.
There's no doubt this is terrible for the league. There's just no doubt about that. They always talk about the integrity of the league. Well, you cannot put a spear through the integrity of the league any more quicker and more harsh than having a handful of guys who are gambling so badly they're going to get popped for a full year. So this does absolutely hurt the NFL to a certain point. People are still going to watch, but it's not great for the reputation. It's a bigger problem than we know. And it's going to be a bigger problem than it's reported on. It's going to be a much bigger problem than the NFL is going to let us know it is. This is a big problem. When you've got a handful of guys who are going to get one-year suspensions due to gambling, that's an issue. That's a big issue. Now, I wonder what names we're going to see. And I said this back when the Rodgers thing was reported on. Is the NFL shield going to protect their stars and superstars? Now, Calvin Ridley, he was a young star, you could argue, and he got in some big-time trouble.
Yeah, he did.
But if this was Patrick Mahomes, does he get the one-year suspension? I don't know. If it's Josh Allen, if it's any top quarterback, do they get a full year? Or does the NFL skirt a couple things and protect their brightest and best? I don't know the answer to that. But it absolutely has to be discussed of, you know, what level of superstar is the NFL willing to put out there on Front Street and say, you can't do this, one-year suspension. We'll see if one of these five guys that's going to be named, we'll see if there's a star or superstar among them.
Just justified or not, and not to open up any old wounds for you, Boston Nick, but they didn't hesitate to go after Tom Brady and the Patriots when they were sort of the face of this league during Deflategate and all that. Now, whether they should have or not, and I know you and others have thoughts on that and whether that whole thing was warranted or as serious as they made it out to be, they certainly felt it was and didn't back off because it was the face of the league with Tom Brady.
But under that situation, that was the ownership throughout the league that had built up an anger and a furor towards the Patriots organization to the point where Goodell, I think, felt like he had to do something. And so he overreacted in a major way. But that was because ownership was putting heat on Goodell to do something. So I don't know if ownership is going after Goodell to do something with this, because there are the relationships. You know, these stadiums around the league, they're going to be having sports books on site. It's very, very murky from the NFL standpoint. But if you're a player, you just got to stay away, man. Like it's, and look, people have problems all the time. Maybe we're just talking about gamblers that have problems. And if they weren't NFL players, they'd be gambling anyway, 5 days, 6 days, 7 days a week. Maybe we got a handful of guys who just have a serious problem. But if you're playing in the league, you just got to stay away from it. Stay away from it for a few years.
And if I'm the league, I'm just telling these guys just that.
Go play blackjack.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah.
Play some three-card poker. You don't have to bet on football games and sports. Stay away from that for a few years while you rake in money. 916-339-1140 is the text line. The phone number is 1-800-920-1140. Don't forget, YouTube.com, Sacktown Sports 1140. An NBA offseason edition of Big Deal or No Big Deals coming up.
How big is it? No matter what, national pundits would tell you it's huge. Now it's our turn to tell you.
Big Deal or No Big Deal?
On Cattles and Robbie.
Yes, big deal or no big deal. I should have got Wheel of Fortune, by the way. Stick that in your pipe and smoke it, Ryan Seacrest.
Why you?
I'm entertaining.
I'm telling you, man, you don't need to be that entertained. That's not one of the game shows where you need...
I have a good voice.
I'll give you that.
I can read cards and prompters.
How do you feel about the looks?
Not great.
Okay.
Yeah, solid six or so. I'm not an... what would you say your Seacrest is, an eight?
Is Sajak a good-looking man?
No, but again, he was entrenched. So
if you've seen
the grandfather rule.
If you've seen Sajak in 1982, he was a good-looking man.
Was he? Okay.
He was a strapping young lad back in 82.
I really don't think Wheel of Fortune, since we're on this, had to go and spend Seacrest money.
See, here's the problem. We're not necessarily on this. We're just mentioning it. But as soon as I mention it, Rami's like, we're on this.
Seacrest has also had a lot of work done to his face, allegedly.
Who cares?
So has Sajak,
whatever he's
got
to do. Whatever you got to do to keep it up.
Now, look, I'm average. I mean, maybe some ladies find me better than average.
I've said this before. Like, when it comes to dudes, 8 through 10s, I recognize. Very handsome man.
Hopefully Kelly thinks I'm a little above average.
1 through 3s, I recognize. Like, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
4s through 7s, they all look the same to me.
Just you're in the mix. You just
they're all just a blur.
Just in the mix.
Yeah, they all... This is my second cup of coffee of the day. Trying to cut back from 5 to 3.
All right, let's go to Big Deal, No Big Deal.
I don't know what we just got onto here.
NBA Free Agency Edition, the Summer Edition.
So good. Just really, really good.
Fresh, hot, smells so good.
Rami, let's start with the Milwaukee Bucks. Your Bucks.
Yes, sir.
Are in the news today. Mark Stein reports via his Substack that Brooke Lopez, Chris Middleton, and Jay Crowder are all likely coming back to Milwaukee. Is this a big deal or no big deal?
Pretty big deal that they're going to run it back with a new head coach. I'm going to say big deal. I thought there might be some shakeup there, Nick. The one that really surprises me, I knew that they wanted Middleton back. I knew that they'd want Brooke Lopez back. Jay Crowder, they got him at the trade deadline, and all he did was whine about his role throughout the playoffs and wondering why they brought him there. I don't know why you're running it back with Jay Crowder. The first two don't necessarily surprise me. I'm just wondering what's going to be different about the Bucks that came up short and fell victim to the 8th-seeded Miami Heat in the first round of the playoffs.
Yeah, I think this is a big deal. First, you got Giannis's future. We've talked about that. There is some feeling that if the Bucks do not continue to compete at a high level, Giannis is more than ready to slide out that back door. And so keep the guy happy. Keep Giannis happy. That's priority number one for anybody in that Milwaukee organization. But I do find it interesting, and the reason why I think it's a big deal as well, Rami, is what you just brought up. They're going to double down on this roster. Is that the right call? Is this the right call if you're Milwaukee to double down in the name of Giannis? Maybe you're just doing it because you want to and have to keep Giannis happy, so that's why this is going to happen. But I don't know. Brooke Lopez is, what, 34? Crowder is close to aging out of the league.
Middleton's 32 with wrist problems.
He might have a year or two left, Crowder. And then as Kyle just mentioned, Middleton... he's in his 30s now. He's had knee issues. He's got wrist issues. How much money are you spending? I think it's also more about the term than it is the money. How long-term are these guys the plan? Are you signing Lopez to like a four-year deal, or is it a two-year deal? Are you trying to keep this short? But it's a fascinating decision by the Bucks, because what they're telling us, Rami, with this move too, is it was all Mike Budenholzer's fault.
Basically.
They're going to run it back. You can't fire the team, is the old adage, right? Yep. You just fire the coach. So it's also a big deal because we will not have a Rami celebration on Friday when Brooke Lopez signs with the Kings, because that's what Rami was hoping for, to celebrate.
Won't be hearing that.
Get a little bit outrageous. That ain't going to be happening on Friday, at least not in the name of Brooke Lopez. All right, second one here, Jake Fisher. I told you yesterday, this guy is just pumping out the intel. Yes. He had another long report today.
He's on it.
If you're on Twitter, follow Jake Fisher. I don't know him personally. I don't get a cut when I mention him on the show.
You're Jake Fisher's hype man all of a sudden.
Maybe I should try. Be Jake Fisher's Flavor Flav. But Fisher, again, pumped out more intel today. He had a huge report yesterday with a bunch of Kings nuggets. He was back at it today. And Rami Fisher, part of that report, says that the Houston Rockets are about to go all in on Fred VanVleet. They want to back up the Brinks truck. They're talking $40 million at least per year for Fred VanVleet. Your thoughts on Houston and that possible connection?
That's a big deal and a terrible deal for Houston or whoever. Because if it's not Houston, Nick, if he's not right about the team, somebody's going to drop that kind of money on Fred VanVleet. And I'm telling you, he's not worth it, and somebody's going to overpay for this guy to not get them where they think that he's going to get them. It's a big deal and a bad deal for the Houston Rockets to pay Fred VanVleet that much money.
I think this is a big deal from the Kings' perspective. Houston is number one in cap space. They got $60-plus million in cap space. If you are theoretically battling Houston for a free agent, you want them to dump $40-45 million into Fred VanVleet.
Yep.
Give him all the money. As much as you could possibly give Fred VanVleet.
Give him $45.
Give it to him. give it to him. So I think for the Kings, this is good news. Because if they're going to go hunting after Fred VanVleet this aggressively, it tells me they might not have much success with other players they're looking at. And I saw Jill Adge tweet today. Saw Jill Adge tweet earlier today. It was a great point. So Houston's going to be the Sacramento Kings and these other teams that they're going to be used. And it's what I said yesterday about maybe Kyle Kuzma and Draymond Green leaking out the Kings name because the Kings have a lot of cap space. The Kings don't necessarily even have to be interested in either of those guys. But if those camps leak out that the Kings are interested, then it drives other teams to maybe up their offers. Houston is going to be used by these players. Fred VanVleet, I would imagine, would rather stay in Toronto than go to Houston. Don't forget, Texas, the taxes add a lot of money to these deals as well. But I would imagine that VanVleet would rather be in Toronto than Houston. So maybe VanVleet is using Houston as the leverage in this situation. Also keep an eye, as I mentioned with Brooke Lopez and others, get ready. I would not be surprised that Friday we see a lot of short-term deals. Get ready for a lot of two-year deals. This new CBA, teams are not going to want to be tied to money for 4 years. They're just 3-4 year deals are not going to be the thing. You're going to see a lot of two-year deals. I would not be surprised if VanVleet gets like a two-year, $80 to $90 million deal from Houston. Oof. So Houston pays all the money in 2 years. Fred VanVleet gets the bag in Texas. And then Houston can pivot within the next couple of years.
You're right, though. If they spend that kind of money on VanVleet, it does take them out of the market for some guys that folks thought the Kings might be competing with them for. So that would be a good thing for the Kings if you gave Fred VanVleet $45 million or whatever it's going to be.
Keep an eye on the short-term precedent with this new CBA. I think that's going to be set this Friday. You'll see a lot of that. Finally, we have some Darius Garland conflicting reports. We have some reports saying that he is on the block. He's available. Brian Windhorst came out today and said that Garland is not available. Donovan Mitchell is not available. Darius Garland, his availability, big deal or no big deal?
That's a big deal. If he's available, that's a big deal. That's an all-star level guard who might be on the free agent market. I don't buy it, Nick. I don't know why you would put a guy that young and that good on the trade market. And the report was that they weren't shopping him, but that they were receptive when teams were calling and asking about him. I don't know what that means, because a lot of GMs would listen to an offer for anybody. You know what I mean? Short of LeBron James or Luka, they'd listen to an offer for just about anybody in the league. So I don't know how much stock to put in it, but if he is available, yeah, that's a big deal. Guys that young and that talented don't come available all that often on the trade market.
Big deal.
I'm making a call.
Target for the Kings.
Yeah.
Maybe, just maybe.
It's a great idea.
You've got the money. Garland can play off ball with Fox. Not saying it's going to happen.
Not a bad fit.
I think when we talk about younger guys, younger talent, I mentioned this yesterday, it wouldn't shock me if the Kings brought back Harrison Barnes and tried to upgrade Herter. That's an option. Not telling you it's what they want to do or what they plan to do as plan A, but it has to be talked about. Every front office goes through all the options. And if you can't find, if you don't want to overpay somebody like Kyle Kuzma or Draymond Green, you bring back HB and maybe you look to upgrade at another spot, which has to be Herter. You're not upgrading from Fox. I don't think you're moving on from Keegan unless you get a superstar in return. Domas is going nowhere. So if you brought back Harrison, you're left with one guy to replace in that starting lineup if you want to upgrade your team, and that guy is Kevin Herter.
Yeah.
So I think we can keep an eye on that. And the Cavaliers are just an interesting team.
They don't mind shaking it up, man.
You know, the regular season, they were fantastic. I thought they were going to make a pretty good run in the postseason. And as we know, that did not happen. They lost to the Knicks. But Donovan Mitchell was awful in that series.
Garland was too, yeah, which is...
Garland wasn't great. Garland wasn't great. But Mitchell, I mean, Mitchell's the guy that you expect. He's supposed to be the guy. And he was really bad. All right, remind you that all guests come to you from the Folsom Lake Honda Hotline. Folsom Lake Honda, your one-stop Honda shop. We got a lot to get through today. Chris Biederman our friend, will join us to discuss what the Kings do or should do, could do next.